Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you doing okay today?
Good.
We gotta do better than that. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There you go. I just want to make sure everybody was awake today. It's good to be in God's house today, amen.
Amen.
Glad to see everybody here. If you have your Bibles, I'm asking you to go ahead and turn to John chapter 13.
Amen.
We're gonna look at a couple of verses here today. The title of the sermon today is Five Keys to a Healthy Walk with Jesus. I believe it's important in the new year. You're going to notice that a lot of the themes I'm going to have of sermons in January are going to be things to get us focused on moving into this new year and trying to do some things differently, because I believe that there's no greater time to do that than when you roll into a new year. Now, some of us may have already started working on some of these things as 2018 rolled out, and I encourage you to continue on into this new year. But I just want to point out to us today some things that I think are important and I think are essential for a believer to do and be a part of on a daily basis to keep your walk with Jesus healthy. Now, I believe that we all have a walk with Jesus. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here today. If you didn't have some kind of walk with Jesus, most likely you would not be in this building today. So the thing is, we just gotta work on getting the total package put together. You know how sometimes when you're in a job, you have to learn things in segments, and then you start putting everything together, and then eventually you get to mastering whatever it is you're doing, and eventually you start elevating yourself up the ladder. Well, that's kind of how it is with our walk with the Lord. We don't just move into Christianity as a born-again believer and know how to do everything right. We don't know how to do everything exactly the way God wants it to be done, but we know that there's a change in our heart. We know we need to do something different. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we're going to look at today. I'm just thankful to see everybody out here today. I know it's kind of cool and damp and chilly out here this morning, but you know, there's always a warmth in God's house. Amen? And that's what I want us to focus on today, is just how can we make our walk healthier with Jesus this new year. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet. We're going to look at John chapter 13. We're going to read two verses, verses 34 and 35. Beginning with verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I just pray now, God, in the next few minutes that, Lord, your will and your way will be done here in this service. Let it be nothing about me, but let it be the word that you want spoken today, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, I just want us to focus on developing a healthy walk with Jesus in this new year. I think each year presents its own set of opportunities. It also presents its own set of problems, doesn't it?
Yes.
Depending on how you end out your year and how you roll into your new year can determine whether or not you're starting off on a positive note or are you starting out on somewhat of a negative note. No matter what you're starting out on, I believe we can all get to the same goal. You see, that's the good thing about being a believer. You know, we don't have to have everything right for Jesus to love us. Amen. Jesus is going to love us anyway, whether we got everything right or not. But he wants us to move toward being like him. He wants us to move toward getting the picture and becoming the total package. You know, it's difficult sometimes to walk daily with Jesus in this world, isn't it? It's difficult because there's so many things that can sidetrack us and derail us that if we're not careful, we can easily get pulled away from our focus on Jesus. I want to encourage you in 2019 to put your eyes on Jesus and don't take them off of him.
Amen.
Put your eyes on him and stay focused on him, and don't rely on your own understanding as much as you may have done in the previous year. Let God move in your life. Let him move in your life. How many of you feel like God's trying to move in your life right now? Anybody feel like God's doing some things in your life? Let go and let him have control. That's what I want to emphasize to you. Because, you know, I think sometimes we suppress the Holy Spirit of God. We think we've got it all figured out, but in reality, God's always has been and always will be in control. Amen. He's always got everything under control. We may think, well, God, why is this happening? God, why'd you let this happen? I don't understand why this happened. Listen, everything happens for a reason. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Everything happens for a reason. I don't believe that God allows anything to happen in this world that He doesn't have a purpose for working something good out of it.
Amen.
And that includes in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones and friends and everyone. But I think it's important today that we take a look at some things. And I want to focus on five things today that I believe can help you develop a healthier walk with Jesus. So let's take a look at those right now. Beginning with number one. We must be focused. Guys, we got to be focused. If you're going to walk with Jesus on a daily basis, you must be focused on Him. You cannot let the distractions of this world pull you to the side. You can't let all these other things that are crashing in on you steal your focus. There's so many distractions out there today. Our jobs, our leisure time, our technology we have, our televisions, our family sometimes can be a distraction to us serving the Lord. Yeah. You know, people say, well, how can you say that, preacher? We're supposed to love our family. Yes, you are, but you're never supposed to love them more than you love God. Amen.
Amen.
That's something that we got to understand as believers. Nothing and no one should come ahead of your love and service to God. No one should. Nothing else should interfere and come before that. Guys, we got to learn to limit the distractions daily that interfere with our lives and take our focus off Jesus. These distractions can come in a lot of forms, guys. It could be work. Like I said, it could be leisure. It could be social media, family. Your own tiredness can be a distraction, can't it? How many times have you come in intending on, before you went to bed, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to you, Jesus, tonight. I'm going to get in your word. I'm going to study your word. And next thing you know, you're over there snoring and your wife or husband, whatever the case may be, is elbowing you in the ribs. Amen. We have good intentions to do these things, but sometimes our tiredness can be a distraction. Now, how many of you have said this? Okay, I'm too tired to do it tonight, but hey, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to get up early and I'm going to get in the word and I'm going to get focused on Jesus. Only to hit snooze about six times. Can anybody relate to that? Say amen.
Amen.
Hit snooze about five or six times. And before you know it, you're fixing to be late to work. So there went that opportunity to serve Jesus. To get into word with Him early that morning. So you see, our tiredness both at night and when we wake up in the morning can be a distraction. So we gotta limit those distractions in our life. Now, I did not say eliminate those things. So I don't want you to think that. I don't want somebody to say, well, the preacher said we shouldn't have any leisure time and we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that. No, I said we need to learn to limit the distractions from these things. We've got to learn how to temper these things with being able to still get in the Word and still stay focused. Number two, we must renew our minds daily. Guys, I can't stress how important that is. We must renew our minds daily. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about getting in contact with God. That can be through your Bible reading, and I encourage you to get in the Word and read the Word every day. You know, that's something that we have got to get in the habit of doing in 2019. If it has not been a part of your everyday life, let me tell you something, it'll make a difference in who you are. It'll make a difference in how you look at people and how you look at situations and how you interpret things that are going on around you. Why? Because God's Word is our roadmap. It's our roadmap. It's what we as believers should be living our life according to. It's what we as believers should be looking to for strength, for guidance, for understanding. For anything that we face in life, there is an answer in God's Word. Aren't you glad you have that right at your disposal?
Amen.
You know, you don't have to go anywhere to get it. It's right here. It's been here for thousands of years. We just got to tap into it. And we got to renew our minds daily. Guys, you will never get to know Jesus on a personal level until you get in His Word and understand who He is.
Amen.
You're not going to be able to connect with Him on a personal level until you know who He is. How do you know that? You get in His Word. You read about what Jesus has done. You read about things that He tells us and taught us in His Word. You understand His innermost being and how we should be trying to be imitators of Him to the best of our ability. You're never going to know that until you get in God's Word and you renew your mind on a daily basis. Amen. Guys, God's Word's going to give us clarity. It's going to give us direction. It's going to give us advice. And it's going to give us wisdom if we ask for it. All we got to do is open the pages and read it. Amen. And apply it to our lives. We got to learn to apply it to our lives. Some of you may say, well, I really want to read God's Word, but I have a hard time. I get up late. I go to bed. I'm so tired when I get home. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you still work in here? Raise your hand. Work pretty much full time. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you have a lunch break? If you do, raise your hand. Okay. Do you have other times of the day where things kind of slow down? Maybe you have other breaks. Anybody? Okay. Guys, listen to me. Let me tell you something. Now, I may talk about how sometimes our social media things can be a negative influence on us. But let me tell you one thing that you can do with this cell phone right here. How many of you that still work full time have a Bible app on your phone? Anyone? Okay. Listen to me. You have an opportunity to connect with God on a daily basis. If you have that Bible app on your phone while you're sitting there at lunch, while you're eating, while you have a few minutes of a break, pull up that scripture and look at it. It's right here with you. You don't have to carry your Bible with you everywhere you go. Although if you want to put, listen, I encourage you to take your Bible out and read it in front of other people. Don't get me wrong. But if that becomes too difficult for you to do, take this with you. Bring it out. Read it. And somebody comes up, what are you looking at on your phone? I'm looking at some scripture. What a great testimony, right? But guys, you have an opportunity. We have opportunities to get in the Word and renew our mind. We're just not taking them like we should. Okay? You know, I understand we're hectic in the mornings. We're hectic in the evenings. But there are some times where we can make time for God's Word. Listen, if you want to grow in Jesus, you got to make time for Him. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you want to grow in Jesus in 2019, you must make time for Him. You can't just rush through your day and, you know, come to church on Sunday and let that be all the Jesus you get for the week. It's not going to be enough. Number three. Oh, let me backtrack a minute because I want to add something to renewing your mind here. Not only should we renew our mind through Scripture, but we should also renew our mind through prayer. Guys, you must learn to communicate with Jesus, okay? Now, you may say once again, well, I have a hard time doing it in the morning. I have a hard time coming home at night and praying. Guys, let me tell you something. You got to, those of you that are still working every day, you got to drive to work, right? Talk to them on the way to work. I do that a lot. You know, nowadays people won't even think you're crazy like they used to 20 years ago. You know why? Because people have Bluetooth now and they talk to each other on the phone anyway. So they won't think you're crazy anymore. Talk to Jesus on the way to work. They'll just think you're talking to somebody on the phone. Amen. And who cares if they don't? I mean, 20 years ago I was talking to Jesus. Now people thought you were crazy back then. They'd look at you, man, he's over there talking and laughing. Ain't nobody in the car with him. But guys, I'm telling you. You have an opportunity to communicate with the Savior each and every day. To work, home from work. If that's all you can squeeze in for Him, then hey, I guarantee you one thing, He'll be happy with that.
Amen.
Talk to Him. You have time to do it, guys. We just got to do it. We got to make time and do it. Number three, we must have a forgiving spirit. If we're going to have a healthy walk with Jesus in 2019, we must have a forgiving spirit about us. Let me tell you something. When Jesus hung on that cross, He forgave the world for its sin. He wiped out sin once and for all. Forgiveness was shown at its greatness right there in that moment.
Amen.
And all we got to do is call on the name of Jesus. We accept Him as our Lord and Savior. Our slate is wiped clean. Our sins are blotted out by the blood of Jesus. His grace covers us for the rest of our life.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about past sin, present sin, or future sin. But let me tell you something. Don't keep on sinning. Amen.
Amen.
Don't get in the habit of just because God's grace covered you now, that's not a free ticket to keep living the way you used to, because in Christ we are new creatures. The old is gone, the new has come. Amen. You cannot continue to live in that lifestyle. The Holy Spirit's going to change you. He's going to transform you. You're going to move in the right direction. But guys, we've got to learn to be forgiven. Guys, this includes things that are said to you, things that, you know, little things that people do to you from time to time. And guess what? A lot of times we offend other people. We upset other people. Not only must we learn to give forgiveness to others, we must learn to accept forgiveness and give it back whenever somebody asks us for it. Guys, if I'm holding something bitter towards someone, the Bible clearly tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. You might want to jot down that scripture if you're taking your notes. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 is a great illustration of how Jesus feels about harboring unforgiveness and harboring things. He was using the example of someone coming up to the altar to present an offering, kneeling down here at the altar. Basically, he said, look, if you realize while you're up here at this altar that you've wronged your brother, get up from here, go back, take care of that, then come back. What Jesus is basically saying here is, I can't help you until you're willing to forgive. I'm not going to be able to bless you like I want to until you can forgive. So we got to have a forgiving spirit if we're going to have a healthy walk with Jesus, guys. It'll never be healthy if you're harboring anger and bitterness due to unforgiveness. You might say, well, preacher, I just can't forgive them. Yeah, you can. If you're a born-again son or daughter of the King, you are commanded to forgive them. It's not an option. You are to forgive. Well, I can't do that. Okay. You go against what God's Word says, that's between you and Him. I'm not going to tell you one way or another now, but you're going to have to come to grips at some point in time in your life. Do I want to do what God's telling me to do, or do I want to harbor this bitterness that only Satan himself has put in my heart? And when you realize that and you get rid of that, a peace will come over you. You are the victor from that point on when you let go and forgive. I preached on this many times before. Some of you were not here when I preached on this one time before, so I'm going to say it again. You may say, well, preacher, I have a loved one who is no longer here. How can I ask them for forgiveness? Well, let me tell you, I heard this. I'm taking this from Dr. Charles Stanley right here because I heard this in a sermon of his one time, and I've been preaching about it ever since. If that's the case, let's say you've got a loved one who has gone on to be with the Lord or has died, you know, whatever their spiritual situation is, and you were angry at them and bitter toward them and did not have a chance to forgive them. Here's what he said to do, and I love it, and you can free yourself from this. You take a chair, you put it on the floor right in front of you, and you say that person's name. You address them as though they're sitting in that chair right there. And you tell them exactly what you want to tell them at that point in time by asking them for forgiveness at that point in time. You pour your heart out to that person who is supposedly sitting in that chair, and you say, God, I'm going to act as though this person is right here in this chair. Because I can't go back and I can't correct this right now, person to person, because they've already passed away. But Lord, will you please accept what I'm doing? And will you please know that I mean this from my heart? And you talk to that person as though they're sitting right there in that chair. And you see if you don't find some peace from that. You see if you don't release yourself from what it was you've been holding inside you, guys. You cannot have an angry, unforgiving spirit and have a healthy walk with Jesus. You just can't do it, guys. You can't do it. Number four, we must be like Jesus. We got to be like Jesus. Guys, if we want a healthy walk with Jesus, what better way to do it than to imitate Jesus? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be everything Jesus was. Now, I fall short every day. You know why? Because I live in a fleshly body. I'm going to do things that are not right sometimes. Jesus never did anything wrong. But yet he hung on a tree for us anyway. I do things wrong all the time. I deserve what I should get. But he didn't deserve any of it. But you know what? I want to be like him. I want to learn to forgive people. I want to learn to love people more. I want to learn to be more compassionate. I want to learn to just reach out and minister to people who may be hard to minister to. I want to love those who are hard to love. See, I want to imitate Jesus. I want to be like Him. Guys, that doesn't mean just be like Him by coming to church on Sunday. That means to be like Him in our thoughts, in our speech, in our attitudes, in our relationships, in our actions. In everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That means whatever you say, act like you're saying it to Jesus. Would you tell Jesus half of what you say out in private? If you wouldn't, then you ought not be saying it. Amen? You see, everything we do, do it as unto the Lord. Our thoughts, our speech, everything. I want to ask you this question. I want you to think about it. If somebody were following you around day to day, would they know that you're a follower of Christ? Think about it. Would they know? How would they know you really know Jesus as your Savior? When you're there in your quiet moments and you're communicating with people on social media and somebody were to be tagging along with you and they say, hey, let me see what you just sent. Would they know you're a follower of Jesus based on what they read? Based on what they saw? Because guys, it doesn't matter. You can't hide from God. Amen. You might think you can run away and go hide in a corner somewhere. Jesus knows your most inner thoughts. He knows what you're going to say before you even say it. That's scary, isn't it? He knows what you're thinking right now. Some of you may be saying, I wish that preacher would shut up and hurry up. I got a roast in the oven. Amen. He knows what you're thinking right now. You cannot run away and escape from God. So why not let's be like Him? Let's be like Jesus. Guys, we got to strive to be above reproach and keep our witness intact as we go about our lives. And let me tell you something else too, guys. I've said this before. If you mess up in front of people and you get out of character for who you are in Christ, be man enough or woman enough to look at those people and say, you know what? I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I did that. I shouldn't have said that. That's out of character for who I am in Christ. You see what the look on their face will look like then. Then they know you mean business about your walk and you will have preserved your witness. But if you just say something, just go on about your business and never correct that, then people aren't going to know how you really are as far as Jesus is concerned. The fifth thing is this, guys. We must love others unconditionally. Jesus loved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't put a condition on His death for us. He didn't say, if y'all will straighten up a little bit, I'm going to go up here and I'm going to hang on this tree and I'm going to make sure that you get to heaven one day if you call on My name. No, He didn't put a condition on that. He said, I'm going to die for all mankind. I don't care who you are. I don't care how terrible you are. I love every creation I have here on this earth.
Amen.
And I'm going to die for all of them. He didn't put a condition on His love. The greatest trait I believe a believer should possess, in my opinion now, is to love as Jesus loved. Amen. You know where I get that from? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, Jesus even told His disciples, they said, well, what are the greatest commandments that we should be keeping here? You know what He said? He picked out two of them. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and being. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two most important things. If you do both of those, then the rest of them are going to fall in place. You don't have to worry about them. So guys, we need to be like Jesus. We got to love like Jesus loved. And guys, we got to love unconditionally. Take a second this week and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's called the love chapter in the Bible. It talks about what love is. Love is kind. Love does not boast. Love is generous. All those kinds of things. That's who Jesus was. That's the kind of love Jesus showed. And that's what we need to show as well. Guys, our love for Jesus should be evident in our service to Him every day. It ought to be evident. Our love for our family and friends should be evident not only to them, but to others as well. You know what? If you really love Jesus, then you're going to love your family. You're going to love your children. And people out there are going to be saying, wow, Man, they really love each other. You know how they know that? They see it. They hear it. You're not ashamed to tell each other you love each other in front of people. If you're ashamed to tell your family you love them in front of a group of people, what does that say? Do you really love them? Or do you just love them whenever nobody's looking and whenever nobody can hear you? Don't ever be ashamed of that. Don't ever walk away from things like that. Guys, the love of Jesus cannot be in you if you cannot love your fellow man. The love of Jesus cannot be in you if you cannot love your fellow man. The book of 1 John tells us that. That, you know, how can we say we love Jesus and hate our brother? It can't be. That can't be happening in the life of a believer. I want to close today by saying this. I want you to ask yourself, guys, I want you to ask yourself, am I exhibiting these traits on a daily basis? Am I doing all five of these things regularly and doing them to the best of my ability? Or do I need to work on some of these areas? Guys, I know I need to improve in some of these. I think everybody in here does. We all can get better in our walk with the Lord, can't we? Is there anybody that's satisfied with your walk with the Lord right now? Raise your hand. Stand up and give us a testimony because we need to hear it. Amen. Anybody comfortable with where your walk is with Jesus right now? How many of you want to keep moving to the cross? Raise your hand.
Amen.
How many of you want to keep moving in the right direction? Amen. Amen. That's what I want to do. I'm a work in progress. I make mistakes every day. You know what? Jesus loves me anyway. Isn't that great? Amen. Isn't that great to know that no matter how terrible I can be, one day Jesus still loves me?
Amen.
That's great to know, isn't it? But let me tell you something. He don't want you to stay that way. He loves you too much for you to stay in that condition. He wants you to know that not only does He love you, but He expects better of you and me. Why? Because He gave us everything He had. All He's asking in return is that we be faithful to Him, that we serve Him with all our heart and soul and mind and being. That's not asking too much, is it? Guys, don't leave any doubts in the minds of people as to who you serve. We're in this new year now, guys. There's no better time than the present for us all to make sure that we're displaying these five traits in our lives each day. Will you work on that this year? Will you try to strive to do all these things? I want to just recap them for you. We've got to be focused. We need to renew our minds daily through Bible reading and prayer. We need to have a forgiving spirit. We need to be like Jesus. And we need to learn to love unconditionally. If you can do those five things and do them well, I promise you this. You definitely are moving in the right direction. But hey guys, it's okay if you're missing out on some of those right now. You know why? Because we serve a forgiving and loving God. Amen?
Amen?
We serve a God who will forgive you and restore you if you come and confess your sin and get yourself straightened out, whatever you need to do. When we come up here in a minute for this invitation, maybe some of you want to come up here to this altar and have a prayer of commitment. Lord, I want to do these five things better in 2019. God, I want to give it all I got this new year. I want to show you that I can do these things and I can do them on a regular basis because I want to be pleasing to you. Maybe you need to just come up here and pray about that. I want to encourage you to do that because maybe you're having a hard time with some of them. Maybe you're having a hard time of letting go of anger and unforgiveness. And let me tell you something too. I want to just add to that. When you ask somebody to forgive you, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Don't just say, I'm sorry. That's not an apology. You tell them in a sincere voice, I'm sorry for what I've done. Will you please forgive me? Because when you add that ending to it, will you please forgive me? Then you have put the ball in their court. And if they choose not to forgive you, you've asked for it and you've done all you can at that point in time. But if all you say is, I'm sorry, there's no life behind that. There's no sincerity behind that. Always ask to forgive for forgiveness that way. Guys, I love y'all. And I know we can be all we can be for Jesus if we just put our minds to it. Guys, there's an old song. It starts out, I can't remember the name of it. I'm drawing a blank right now. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. What's the name of that song?
Pass It On.
Pass It On, yeah. Guys, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. In other words, soon all those around will warm up in its glowing. In other words, we all get on fire for Jesus in this new year. We all get focused. We all see Jesus start moving in our lives. You see where we'll go this year. But guys, it's got to start with you and I. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for loving us despite how bad we may be on any given day. Lord, no matter how bad our day may be, God, you still love us. We can still come to you. We can still find forgiveness from you and comfort and peace and safety. And I thank you for that, Lord. I pray now that you'll move in the hearts and souls and minds of your people. Lord, that they'll come up here maybe in a minute if they need to and just empty themselves of anything they need to and move forward in this new year, Father. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
In 413.
413. Let's stand and sing, please. 413.